Welcome to the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. This podcast will be a sharing of part of my morning routine as I prepare for the day with the Word of God. We will be partaking of Puritan prayers from the Valley of Vision, each day's morning devotional from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's Morning and Evening, and we'll be reading from the Legacy Standard Bible, which is the newest and, I believe, the most accurate translation of the Word of God. We will be following a Bible reading calendar that provides for reading the whole Bible in a year that was created by Minister Robert Murray McShane for his congregation back in 1842, and that has been a part of my daily reading for over 6 years now. Good morning and welcome to the Saturday, April 15th episode of the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. I continue to be Wayne Floyd, your host. The Faith Comes From Hearing podcast is a humble member of the Christian podcast community. You can find us over at christianpodcastcommunity.org. Definitely recommend you go over there. We got a lot of great podcasts. We got near 60 of them. Very carefully curated, wide variety of topic matter. Definitely worth your while. All of it tending to be approached from a Christian worldview. So definitely worth your while to go over there and look. I want to continue to point you at the final link in our show notes. It is for the Vail Valley Baptist Church Give, Send, Go campaign. We are striving to rapidly pay off our mortgage so that we can commence establishment of a Christian classic education-based school to give a safe alternative within our community. So go ahead and click on the link. You can go read a much more thorough definition than I just gave you, an explanation than I just gave you. Then we would ask three things of you. We would ask you to pray for us. We'd ask you to prayerfully consider giving to us. And then we would ask you to go ahead and pass the link along so that others can do the same. All right. Well, like I said last evening, the weekend editions are going to be just our reading. We'll be opening with a prayer. From Valley of Vision, we'll be opening with Spurgeon's morning devotion from the morning and evening. We'll do our Bible reading, then we'll do Spurgeon's evening devotion for that day, and then we'll close out with an evening prayer from Valley of Vision. So let's go ahead and let's jump right into it. And again, I would hope that I would actually say, like my buddy Gene Clyatt said over at Squirrel Chatter today in his episode for today. You know, if your weekend plans don't have in them getting together with the saints and worshiping, going to church and worshiping, then change them. I think he said that beautifully. Change them. And even in one place, I've heard Steve Lawson actually speak of, listen, if you don't have a church within 100 some miles of you at some place you can't go to regularly that's solid, then move closer to one. And again, I'm very fortunate. I'm 5 minutes from my church, so I'm very, very blessed. But I realize there are some places where it's very, very hard. And again, I'm not trying to tell you how to live your life, how to walk your Christian walk, because all of ours are different in a general sense. They can be very different based on geographics and everything else. But if there's any way possible, get yourself close or at least close enough to a solid church where you can worship on a weekly basis with your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, because it is a command. It's not a request. It's a command. All right. So anyways, let's go ahead and open up. We're going to go ahead and open up like we usually do on a Saturday with the Seventh Day Morning Prayer. It's called God's Good Pleasure. Let's pray. Sovereign Lord, thy will is supreme in heaven and earth, and all beings are creatures of thy power. Thou art the Father of our spirits. Thy inspiration gives us understanding. Thy providence governs our lives. But, O God, we are sinners in thy sight. Thou hast judged us so, and if we deny it, we make thee a liar. Yet in Christ thou art reconciled to thy rebellious subjects. Give us the ear of faith to hear him, the eye of faith to see him, the hand of faith to receive him, the appetite of faith to feed upon him, that we might find in him light, riches, honor, eternal life. Thou art the inviting one. May we hearken to thee, the almighty instructor. Teach us to live to thee, the light dweller, inaccessible to man and angels, hiding thyself behind the elements of creation, but known to us in Jesus. Possess our minds with the grandeur of thy perfections. Thy love to us in Jesus is firm and changeless. Nothing can separate us from it. And in the enjoyment of it, nothing can make us miserable. Preserve us from hypocrisy and formality in religion. Enable us to remember what thou art and what we are, to recall thy holiness and our unworthiness. Help us to approach thee clothed with humility. For vanity, forwardness, insensibility, disorderly affection, backwardness to duty, proneness to evil are in our hearts. Let us never forget thy patience, wisdom, power, faithfulness, care, and never cease to respond to thy invitations. Amen. All right, well, the morning devotion from Spurgeon's Morning and Evening. The text is from Psalm 22:1. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? We here behold the Savior in the depth of his sorrows. No other place so well shows the griefs of Christ as Calvary, and no other moment at Calvary is so full of agony as that in which his cry rends the air. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? At this moment, physical weakness was united with acute mental torture from the shame and ignominy through which he had to pass and to make his grief culminate with emphasis. He suffered spiritual agony surpassing all expression, resulting from the departure of his Father's presence. This was the black midnight of his horror. Then it was that he descended the abyss of suffering. No man can enter into the full meaning of these words. Some of us think at times that we could cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? There are seasons when the brightness of our Father's smile is eclipsed by clouds and darkness. But let us remember that God never does really forsake us. It is only a seeming forsaking with us. But in Christ's case, it was a real forsaking. We grieve at a little withdrawal of our Father's love, but the real turning away of God's face from his Son, who shall calculate how deep the agony which it caused him? In our case, our cry is often dictated by unbelief. In his case, it was the utterance of a dreadful fact, for God had really turned away from him for a season. O thou poor, distressed soul, who once lived in the sunshine of God's face, but art now in darkness, remember that he has not really forsaken thee. God in the clouds is as much our God as when he shines forth in all the luster of his grace. But since even the thought that he has forsaken us gives us agony, what must the woe of the Savior have been when he exclaimed, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? All right. Well, we are going to be reading, let's get into our reading. We're going to be reading Joshua 11 and 12, verses 11 through 37 of Luke 17, all of Psalm 84, and then Proverbs 13, 5 and 6. So Joshua 11, hear the word of the Lord. Now it happened when Jabin, king of Hazor, heard of it, that he sent to Jobab, king of Madon, and to the king of Shimron, and to the king of Akshaph, and to the kings who were of the north in the hill country, and in the Arabah south of Chinneroth, and in the Shephelah, and on the heights of Dor on the west, to the Canaanite on the east and on the west, and the Amorite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, and the Jebusite in the hill country, and the Hivite at the foot of Hermon in the land of Mizpah. Then they came out, and they and all their armies with them, as many people as the sand that is on the seashore, with very many horses and chariots. So all of these kings agreed to meet, and they came and encamped together at the waters of Merom to fight against Israel. Then Yahweh said to Joshua, do not be afraid because of them, for tomorrow at this time I will give all of them over, slain before Israel. You shall hamstring their horses and burn their chariots with fire. So Joshua and all the people at war with him came upon them suddenly by the waters of Merom, and they fell upon them. And Yahweh gave them into the hand of Israel, so that they struck them down, and they pursued them as far as Great Sidon, and Misrephoth-Maim, and the valley of Mizpah to the east, and they struck them until there was no survivor remaining for them. And Joshua did to them as Yahweh had said to him. He hamstrung their horses and burned their chariots with fire. Then Joshua turned back at that time and captured Hazor, and struck its king with the sword, for Hazor formerly was the head of all these kingdoms. And they struck every person who was in it with the edge of the sword, devoting them to destruction. There was no one left who breathed, and he burnt Hazor with fire. And Joshua captured all the cities of these kings, and all their kings, and he struck them with the edge of the sword, and he devoted them to destruction, just as Moses the servant of Yahweh had commanded. However, Israel did not burn any cities that stood on their mounds, except Hazor alone, which Joshua burned. Now all the spoil of these cities and the cattle the sons of Israel took as their plunder. But they struck every man with the edge of the sword until they had destroyed them. They left no one remaining who breathed. just as Yahweh had commanded Moses, his servant. So Moses commanded Joshua, and so Joshua did. He left nothing undone of all that Yahweh had commanded Moses. Then Joshua took all that land, the hill country, and all the Negev, and all the land of Goshen, the Shephelah, the Arabah, the hill country of Israel, and its Shephelah, from Mount Halak that rises toward Seir, even as far as Baal-Gad in the valley of Lebanon, at the foot of Mount Hermon. And he captured all their kings, and struck them down, and put them to death. Joshua waged war a long time with all these kings. There was not a city which made peace with the sons of Israel, except the Hivites living in Gibeon. They took them all in battle. For it was of Yahweh to strengthen their hearts, to meet Israel in battle, in order that he might devote them to destruction, that they might receive no mercy, but that he might destroy them, just as Yahweh had commanded Moses. Then Joshua came at that time and cut off the Anakim from the hill country, from Hebron, from Debir, from Anab, and from all the hill country of Judah, and from all the hill country of Israel. Joshua devoted them to destruction with their cities. There were no Anakim left in the land of the sons of Israel. Only in Gaza, in Gath, and in Ashdod some remained. So Joshua took the whole land according to all that Yahweh had spoken to Moses. And Joshua gave it for an inheritance to Israel according to their divisions by their tribes. Thus the land was quiet from war. Joshua 12. Now these are the kings of the land whom the sons of Israel struck down, and whose land they possessed beyond the Jordan to the east toward the sunrise, from the valley of the Arnon as far as Mount Hermon, and all the Arabah to the east. Sihon king of the Amorites, who lived in Heshbon, and ruled from Aroer, which is on the edge of the valley of the Arnon, both the middle of the valley and half of Gilead, even as far as the brook Jabbok, the border of the sons of Ammon, and the Arabah as far as the sea of Chinneroth, toward the east, and as far as the sea of the Arabah, even the salt sea, eastward, toward Beth Jeshimoth, and on the south, at the foot of the slopes of Pisgah, and the territory of Og, king of Bashan, one of the remnant of the Rephaim, who lived at Ashtaroth and at Edrei, and ruled over Mount Hermon, and Selika, and all Bashan, as far as the border of the Jeshurites and the Maacathites, and half of Gilead, as far as the border of Sihon, king of Heshbon. Moses the servant of Yahweh and the sons of Israel struck them down, and Moses the servant of Yahweh gave it to the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh as a possession. Now these are the kings of the land whom Joshua and the sons of Israel struck down beyond the Jordan toward the west, from Baal-Gad in the valley of Lebanon, even as far as Mount Halak, which rises toward Seir, and Joshua gave it to the tribes of Israel as a possession according to their divisions in the hill country, and in the Shephelah, and in the Arabah, and on the slopes, and in the wilderness, and in the Negev, the Hittite, the Amorite, and the Canaanite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite. The king of Jericho won. The king of Ai, which is beside Bethel, won. The king of Jerusalem won. The king of Hebron won. The king of Jarmuth won. The king of Lachish won. The king of Eglon won. The king of Gezer won. The king of Debir won. The king of Geder won. The king of Horma won. The king of Ered won. The king of Libna won. The king of Adullam won. The king of Makeda won. The king of Bethel won. The king of Tapua won. The king of Hefer won. The king of Aphek won. The king of Lasharon won. The king of Madon won. The king of Hazor won. The king of Shimron Meron won. The king of Akshap won. The king of Tanakh won. The king of Megiddo won. The king of Kadesh won. The king of Jokneam and Carmel won. The king of Dor in the heights of Dor won. The king of Goyim and Gilgal won. The king of Tirzah won. In all, 31 kings. All right, Luke 17, verses 11 through 37. And it happened that while he was on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing through Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him. And they raised their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." And it happened that as they were going, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Was there no one found who turned back to give glory to God, except this foreigner?" and he said to him, "Stand up and go, your faith has saved you." Now having been questioned by the Pharisees as to when the kingdom of God was coming, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed, nor will they say, 'Look here or there,' for behold, the kingdom of God is in your midst. And he said to the disciples, "The days will come when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. And they will say to you, 'Look there, look here.' Do not go away and do not run after them. For just like the lightning, when it flashes out of one part of the sky, shines to the other part of the sky, so will the Son of Man be in his day. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. And just as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man." They were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were being given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. It was the same as in the days of Lot. They were eating, they were drinking, they were buying, they were selling, they were planting, they were building. But on the day that Lot went out from Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. It will be just the same on the day that the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, the one who is on the housetop and whose goods are in the house must not go down to take them out, and likewise the one who is in the field must not turn back. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to keep his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it. I tell you, on that night there will be two in one bed, one will be taken and the other will be left. There will be two women grinding grain at the same place. One will be taken and the other will be left. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other will be left. And answering, they said to him, "Where, Lord?" And he said to them, "Where the body is, there also the vultures will be gathered." All right, Psalm 84. For the choir director, according to the Gittith of the sons of Korah, a psalm. How lovely are your dwelling places, O Yahweh of hosts! My soul has longed and even fainted for the courts of Yahweh. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the bird has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she sets her young, at your altars, O Yahweh of hosts, my King and my God. How blessed are those who dwell in your house! They are ever praising you, Selah. How blessed is the man whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. Passing through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The early rain also wraps it up with blessings. They go from strength to strength. Each one of them appears before God in Zion. O Yahweh, God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. See our shield, O God, and look upon the face of your anointed. For better is a day in your court than 1,000 elsewhere. I would choose to stand at the threshold of the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For Yahweh God is a sun and shield. Yahweh gives grace and glory. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk blamelessly. O Yahweh of hosts, how blessed is the man who trusts in you. All right, and finally, Proverbs 13, verses 5 and 6. A righteous man hates a lying word, but a wicked man acts odiously and is humiliated. Righteousness guards the one whose way is blameless, but wickedness subverts the sinner. All right, well, that is our reading for the day. Let's go ahead and we'll read the evening devotion from Spurgeon's Morning and Evening for April 15th. The text is from Psalm 28:9, "Lift them up forever." God's people need lifting up. They are very heavy by nature. They have no wings, or if they have, they are like the dove of old, which lay among the pots, and they need divine grace to make them mount on wings covered with silver and with feathers of yellow gold. By nature sparks fly upward, but the sinful souls of men fall downward. O Lord, lift them up forever. David himself said, "Unto thee, O God, do I lift up my soul." And he here feels the necessity that other men's souls should be lifted up as well as his own. When you ask this blessing for yourself, forget not to seek it for others also. There are three ways in which God's people require to be lifted up. They require to be elevated in character. Lift them up, O Lord. Do not suffer thy people to be like the world's people. The world lieth in the wicked one. Lift them out of it. The world's people are looking after silver and gold, seeking their own pleasures and the gratification of their lust. But, Lord, lift thy people up above all this. Keep them from being muckrakers, as John Bunyan calls the man who was always scraping after gold. Set thou their hearts upon their risen Lord and the heavenly heritage. Moreover, believers need to be prospered in conflict. and the battle, if they seem to fall, O Lord, be pleased to give them the victory. If the foot of the foe be upon their necks for a moment, help them to grasp the sword of the Spirit and eventually to win the battle. Lord, lift up thy children's spirits in the day of conflict. Let them not sit in the dust mourning forever. Suffer not the adversary to vex them sore and make them fret, but if they have been, like Hannah, persecuted, let them sing at the mercy of a delivering God. We may also ask our Lord to lift them up at the last. Lift them up by taking them home. Lift their bodies from the tomb and raise their souls to thine eternal kingdom in glory. All right. Well, that is all of our reading for this morning, or for today. I hope you have a wonderful day. I would continue to implore you to do all you do for the glory of God. And like I said, if your weekend plans don't include gathering with the saints for church, change them. You need to be there. We all need to be there. Not just you. I do too. We've got to be there. We've got to be there with our brothers and sisters and be worshiping God. Again, it is a command. It's not a request. It's a command. So we need to be there. But I hope you have a great weekend, and thank you for spending this time with me, and I will see you tomorrow. Hopefully. I God's will that I will see you tomorrow. All right, let's go ahead and close out with the Seventh-day evening prayer. It's called Future Blessing. Let's pray. O Lord God, there is no blessing we implore, but thou art able to give, hast promised to give, hast given already to countless multitudes, all unworthy and guilty like ourselves. Make us willing to receive the supply of our need from thy bounty. To this end, convince us of sin. Soften our hard hearts to bewail our folly, ingratitude, pride, unbelief, rebellion, corruption. Through the law may we die to the law. Then look with wonder, submission, delight to the provision thou hast made for the glory of thy name and the salvation of sinners. Give us a hope that makes us not ashamed, a love that excites to holy obedience, a joy in thee that is our strength, a faith in thy Son who loved us and died for us. May we persevere in duty when not fully conscious of thee, wait upon thee and keep thy way, be humble and earnest suppliants at thy feet, live continually as on the brink of eternity. Let us be at thy disposal for the duties and events of life, submit our preferences to thy wisdom and will, resign our enjoyments, if thou shouldst require it, as our absolute proprietor and best friend. In our unworthiness and provocations, make us grateful for the means of grace and the ordinances of religion, and teach us to profit by them more than we have done. Help us to be in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, to enter upon the Sabbath mindful of its solemnities, duties, privileges, setting all things worldly aside while we worship thee. May we know the blessedness of men, whose strength is in thee, and in whose hearts are the highways to heaven. Amen. All right, again, thank you for spending this time with me. I'm very, very truly blessed that you do. I don't do this for me. I do this for the glory of God. And so I would pray that you all are truly edified, and anybody that's listening that is not saved, that the Holy Spirit is using what I'm reading to move you and to prepare you for the regeneration and for the renewal of your heart. All right. Have a wonderful day, and I hope to see you tomorrow. Have a good one. God bless.